Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
On today's Faith and Freedom, we're going to try to unpack the issues involving the Texas abortion case, which was expedited to oral argument at the United States Supreme Court. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Okay, Matt, we know that SB8, which is this is what's concerning, went into effect September 1st as the most restrictive abortion law in the U.S. And this law bans nearly all abortions after approximately 6 weeks of pregnancy, when you can usually hear the heartbeat of the child, and giving private citizens rather than government officials the power to enforce the law through lawsuits against anyone who aids and abates an abortion. Okay, but this is rather, they really expedited this to the Supreme Court. We know that they're going to hear the case of Dobbs, in which Liberty Counsel filed an amicus brief. They're going to hear that on December 1st. But then they sent this one quickly on November 1st to hear this case. So I think there's a lot of questions around this.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions, confusion. Why did they take this one when they already had one coming up December 1? That one that comes up December 1 is actually requesting the court to overturn its past precedent of Roe v. Wade and right. Planned Parenthood versus Casey.
Yeah, we're really praying about that because I think that has a great chance of overturning Roe.
It does. So how did this one come out of nowhere and get to the Supreme Court so fast before Dobbs? And so that is a real confusing question for a lot of people. Now, there's other situations with heartbeat bills, bills that ban abortion after the heartbeat is detected. So why is this the most restrictive in the nation? Well, obviously, it has a heartbeat component to it. But I don't think it's that so much that actually caught the attention of the justices. There's other aspects to this bill that are very unique, unlike any ever passed, whether it's regarding abortion or anything else. So what does it do that's different? Well, as you've already mentioned, Holly, it bans abortion after 6 weeks, we know that.
Right.
But there's other laws that have been moving through just like that, right? So why is this one different? Because what it does is it creates a private cause of action so that the enforcers are not the government. In other words, for violating that law, it's not the government that comes in and shuts down the clinic. It's not the government that necessarily does anything to the doctor. What it does is it empowers every citizen of Texas to file individual lawsuits anywhere in Texas against that abortion facility or that doctor or both. And it gives a $10,000 incentive for them to do so. So in other words, you have one abortion clinic and you have one abortion at issue that violates the heartbeat law. That means someone as a private individual anywhere in Texas can file a lawsuit against that facility, that abortion facility, and the doctor. And if successful, showing that the person actually did violate the law, then the defendant, the abortion clinic, and the doctor has to pay the person who brought the lawsuit $10,000.
So let's create a hypothetical. Let's say my daughter went in to have an abortion without my consent, and I could then sue that abortion facility for doing that?
But anybody else could do that too, anywhere in the state of Texas. And they could get $10,000 from that particular doctor, as well as any other penalties that can be put against them for violating the law. So here's the thing. Let's take it outside of the context of abortion, because abortion clouds this particular aspect of the law. Obviously, we're opposed to abortion.
Right.
We favor the heartbeat bill. But this one had a different twist to it. It tried to get the government out of being a defendant, out of being the enforcer, if you will, and putting the enforcement into the hands of private individuals and incentivizing them by paying each one of those $10,000 from the defendants if they win. Now, if the defendants ultimately win, the defendants don't have any reprisal. They don't have any attorney's fees or cost against the plaintiffs. So let's take abortion out of this. And let me see what you think of it in this context.
Okay.
So now what we want is we have a state that is opposed to the Second Amendment. So the state realizes that the Supreme Court's already ruled that the Second Amendment protects your right to bear arms. But they don't want you to bear arms. They want to eliminate you having the right to self-defense or having a handgun or some other kind of arsenal to hunt with, for example. They want to prohibit that. But they know that if they pass a law banning your right to have concealed weapons or other kinds of firearms, they know that they're going to be sued, they'll ultimately lose, and they'll have to pay attorney's fees and cost.
Yeah, I think a gun rights group actually weighed in on this with an amicus brief.
Right. So now they come up with a clever idea. Well, we're going to lose if we ban the right to have concealed weapons or have firearms. So let's come up with something where we empower every single person in our state to be the enforcer. So let's say, let's pass a law that says you can't have any firearm in your house, let alone concealed carry. You can't have any. You have to divest yourself of them. But we're not going to be enforcers, the state. But whoever wants to bring a private lawsuit against your neighbor, you're welcome to do it.
So you can snitch and sue.
Or against, say, it's not even your neighbor. Say you live in Florida and there's somebody who just doesn't like you ideologically. And they live in the opposite side of the state. Florida's a big state. And they file suit against you. And then you have to go get an attorney and defend yourself. And the question is, do you have a weapon in your home? Yes. Okay, you violated the law. You lose. You're going to be penalized. And by the way, now you have to pay that person $10,000. How would you feel? In other words, what could happen is this kind of mechanism in this law that was a unique twist, if it ultimately is successful, can be used for anything.
That could really get out of hand. I could see
and
that.
And it can get out of hand. Say, for example, they want to ban churches in downtown areas. Well, we already have federal laws that protect churches against discrimination. You can't just kick them to the outside of the city limits. But now they want to do that. They want to ban them in-house. They want to ban house churches. They want to ban storefront churches. They know they can't get away with that because if they do, there's a federal law and they're going to lose.
Right. Now, you listened to the argument of this case. Is there anything that you walked away with thinking,
Yeah, I think the law is going to be struck down.
The SB 8.
SB 8.
Okay.
But not because of the heartbeat bill section.
Right.
That wasn't the issue. That'll come up on another day. But the unique provision of this law was what ultimately was concerning. I think it'll be a split decision. I think it'll be struck down. Now, I think the law was well-intended by the drafters. But the implication of this is, let me give you another hypothetical. One question was this. Well, what happens if they want to incentivize people to bring the lawsuits? And now it's not $10,000. It's $1 million. So now you get sued by a private person. Let's put it back into the firearm situation. You get sued by a private person, and you're having to consider, you're having to pay them $1 million? Well, if it's $10,000, what's the difference between $100,000, $1 million, $10 million? So the implications of this law can really, really get out of control. And that's the twist. And that's why I think they wanted to address this quickly.
Yeah, that's, I don't understand why they put all that other in there and just left it to just a heartbeat bill and protecting the life of unborn children.
Because they knew that the heartbeat bill alone would be sued, that it would have to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they came up with an interesting way to kind of sidestep that. Accomplish the same thing, but sidestep it. The implications, though, for other issues are far beyond abortion. Yeah. And that's the concerning part of this particular law. For more information, visit lc.org. That's lc.org. And be praying for this other case, the big one coming up December 1, that could ultimately roll back or overturn Roe v. Wade.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.